Good morning, friends. Hi, friends. We'll just start with that. I'm so excited to be here with you today, and I hope that you're excited that I'm here today, too. These pockets are so gigantic. I have a light bulb. We'll talk about that in a minute. We're starting a new series. It's called Go and Tell. And what the heart of it is really, how do we walk out our lives in a way that advances, that moves the kingdom of God into the lives of the people around us? How do we bring his light into the world? And I'm so excited to get to be the one that launches it, largely because if I forget to say something, the rest of the team will pick it up for me the next few weeks. So thank them for that, if you see them. God has called us to be the light in a world that often feels really heavy and really dark. And we're going to dive in right away to Matthew chapter 5, because I want you to remember that we're going to come back to it. We want to read it first to just set it up. I'm going to ramble for a while, and then we're going to come back. So if you're a person that likes to have a paper Bible like I do, we're going to read it, save it, and then we'll come back to it. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. Jesus is giving what I would call the best sermon in the history of the world. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he says about halfway through it. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, verses that we'll come back to in a minute, so mark your Bibles. We're going to be talking a lot about lightness, like light and darkness today. So I have to ask, because I love you and I'm nosy, have you ever been afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of the dark right now? You don't have to answer out loud. I'm going to go first because I asked the question. I grew up in rural Kansas. And a fun thing about rural life is when it gets dark out, there aren't like city lights to light the way. So like we would do chores. And in the winter and it gets dark at 3:30, it's like pitch black, right? So we've got like flashlights that we taped to our heads. It was before headlamps, whatever, I don't know. It's really dark, like it's dark, but it's really dark out there. And I happened to be a kid that was terrified of the dark. And we lived in a farmhouse that my parents bought it in 1975. They still live there. But it was made in the late 1800s, and my mom was scared to have lamps because everything was a fire hazard in that house. And so it was either like bright or off, which isn't great for a kid that's terrified of the dark. Like, I was so scared of the dark that I could make the dark afraid of itself. Like, that's how scared. Have you ever had one of those friends that if you're walking somewhere and they get scared and then now you are running because you think something's after you and it's like a tree limb or something? Okay, that's me. You're welcome. I'm not like that anymore. I don't think I'm like that anymore. I always have a flashlight. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story, though. Because if you ever meet my parents or my siblings, they have so many stories. I almost accidentally burned a hay barn down when I was a kid. And that kind of just started my family's joy of telling my terrible stories. I'm going to show you a picture. What is that? It's a tree. When I was a kid and I was scared of the dark, I had a dream. And in my dream, it was this tree. So the front of our house, our front door, faced the east. Is it that way? No, it's this way. It's okay. It doesn't matter. The front of our house faced the east, and that tree was about 100 yards out. I had a dream, and it was this tree that was the star of my dream. So it's dark, and there's this silhouette, this figure that steps out from behind the tree and starts walking towards me. And I'm frozen. I can't move. And it's dark, and I'm panicking in my dream. I remember it so vividly, you wouldn't even believe it. I probably should talk to somebody about it. I wake up, though, and I feel unresolved and terrified. And because I'm chatty, I tell my whole family at breakfast the next morning. So that tree, to this day, is the man behind the tree, or Katie's tree. What's fun, though, is when you grow up with siblings, I would come home from like basketball practice or my job in high school or maybe just hanging out with friends, and we didn't have a garage, so you just parked wherever you could, and then it was a dead sprint into the house. My dad was an accountant, so we had a little porch light, but it wasn't on all the time because electricity costs money. And so it was pitch black. I'm running in because I don't know what's behind that tree. It's really skinny though, right? Like there's nobody hiding behind that thing. But my whole life, they would like hide behind it and come try to get me and scream and terrify me. Like this is when you know that you come from a family that like really loves you, right? I love that for them. They still do it. I'm an adult. And now they've gotten my kids involved. Like it's awful. But this is an example. Besides, I think I've already told you about me burning down the hay barn. I didn't. A tornado hit it. So that's fine. The man behind the tree. And what I can tell you from then and even now, the dark can feel really big and really scary. It only takes a little bit of light, though, to make the darkness way less big and way less scary. And eventually, probably because I'm very persistent, my dad like unscrewed that tiny little light bulb and put in one that actually should have been in there so you could see more than like a foot in front. Way less scary. It's amazing what a little light can do. Light travels really fast, about 186,000 miles per second. Write that down. You can like wow people at a dinner party with it. That's why when you turn on a light switch, the darkness is banished instantaneously. Light travels so fast. Something else that I thought, because I went in a deep dive of like fun facts. You know, it hasn't been real sunny the last few weeks. We're so grateful that it's out today. But Florida is, do you know what Florida is called? Sunshine. It's a sunshine state. Do you know that the Black Hills of South Dakota have about 40 more sunny days than the state of Florida? I think, right? It's amazing. Except maybe not this year, because this year has been a little gloomy. South Dakota's like the where's the sun state this year so far, but it's fine. We'll make up for it. Another fun fact about light, the Bible, depending on what translation you use, talks about light 272 times it's mentioned. Darkness or dark is mentioned around 180 times. And I don't think light and dark need a whole lot of explaining. We experience it. Right now it's light. Thankfully, the lights have not gone off. Sometimes we've been in here and there's been an oopsie, right? And the lights go off. We're grateful for it. We know physically what it is, but I think mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we can experience times, seasons of light and dark. Light where things feel like we're on the mountaintop. Things feel really good and bright. Or other times where it feels like we're stuck in a valley. It's really dark and it's really heavy. I think opening our time as we talk about going and telling the world about Jesus, we've got to spend some time on light and dark. And so, because I was a history teacher, we're going to talk a little bit about Thomas Edison. He was, by some, considered the most incredible inventor of all time. He failed a lot, but he made a lot of really good things. For the thousands of failures, we're super grateful for the ones that worked. And one of them was that light bulb that helped me be less afraid of the man behind the tree. It's great. In the late 1800s, he was working on perfecting the light bulb. He knew that perfecting the light bulb, giving people sustainable light in their homes through electricity, would be a game changer. And so thousands and thousands of times he tried and failed. But it worked. And what he was trying to do, you can't see it. I can hardly see it, and it's right in front of me. There's this carbon filament that he knew is where the magic was. If that could be twisted into something and connected, there would be light, and it would be sustained, and it would give us what we needed. I actually, though, I like light bulbs, but sometimes I wish we would go back to the days where we got to go to bed when the sun went down. It's fine. I'm just always tired. This is a carbon filament, though, and he was looking for a plant fiber that would be perfect for it, and he picked bamboo. Again, wow people with that knowledge. Later, though, because inventions are always being made better, a physicist at GE came along and found tungsten and put it in, and that's the light bulb we have now. What is in there, though, that carbon filament, it's an essential part of bringing light to the world. It's just a bunch of little threads woven together. Filament is thread. And I think you can see why it would be true when you look at a tiny little bulb This is the picture that God is giving you and he's giving me. And we're going to talk about God and how he invites us to be that thread that brings light to our neighborhoods and our schools, even our homes, our workplaces, maybe to complete strangers on the road during tourism season. I want to talk to you about that today because this thread of light is a major theme in the story of God. From the very beginning of Scripture to the very end, he is weaving this thread of light throughout. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and take a look. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The next verse in, though, everything changed. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. I think God's original call into the dark has always been the most transformational. Let there be light. He knew all that was to come. He knew that the world would not be perfect like he intended. But from the beginning, he shows us that he can make beautiful things out of formless, empty, dark places. Life without God is all of those things. And sometimes for us, life feels like all of those things. But he speaks life and light into all of it. This is how God works. This is how he's always worked. This is how God always will work. Then and today, whatever is formless or shapeless or void in our lives, he wants to bring light to. From the third verse in the Bible to the end, the light and the goodness of God constantly intersect. And the Bible isn't just a book, it's a voice. This voice is the light of God coming into our lives. And we know this because of Psalm 119. I want you to take a look. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. We were created to be with God and to live in his light. But with the story of creation, like any story, that's only the beginning, because darkness crept in, the way it often seems to creep in. We begin to doubt God's light-creating words. We see it first in the Garden of Eden. Satan whispers to Eve, "Did God really say ... And then Eve wondered, "Did God really mean what he said? Is God holding out on me? Is God really good?" Adam and Eve sin, and it changes everything. Instead of basking in the light, sin made them want to go and hide. And so it began: hiding, shame, separation, and darkness. Sin divides the things that are meant to be together. This wasn't just a simple separation, though. It was a chasm. And I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 60. "See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you." I think every time we turn on the news, maybe every time we walk outside or go to a crowded store, stand in line. For me, it's been the airport lately. Like, I have traveled so much this last year, and I would tell you that in every town and city I've ever been to, there are really great people. The only place that I have found where it's very hard to find a nice person is at the airport. And I think it's just because we're all stressed. I think there are good people. We're all good people there, right? Okay, I hope we all are. But every time we turn on the news or we glance at social media, there are stories about corruption and war, accidents, fires, terrorisms, shooting. I feel like lately, all that I'm reading and listening to is telling me that everything I'm breathing, everything I'm drinking my water out of, everything I'm feeding to my children is like slowly killing us. Like, there just doesn't seem like there's always a lot of good news, right? I think it can be gut-wrenching, it can be exhausting, it can be terrifying. It feels like sometimes the whole earth is in this collective cry, "God, why have you forsaken us? Why is it so dark?" Because bad things do happen. Babies die. Parents leave. Friends betray. Addiction enslaves. Cancer steals. Marriages dissolve, and on and on and on. All of these things steal away our days. It feels like it takes away our light. Romans 8:22 says this: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." In the groaning, in this discussion about darkness that we know all too well, I don't want us to forget the whispered hope in John chapter 1. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just a tiny little thread of tungsten and a light bulb. Just a smallest shred of light in a dark world. From the beginning to the end and all over Scripture is this thread of light. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Everything Jesus did and everything that he said in his time on earth made people marvel, made people wonder. It made some people nervous. As he taught, hope spread faster than a flame. The hurting, the discarded, the outcast. There was no one, there is no one too far for his light to reach. Jesus helped us see that darkness is real, but it's not final. As followers of Jesus, we are not called to run from the darkness. We're called to bring the light to it. This is why he loaned us his own metaphor in Matthew, way back where we started, when he calls us light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus would have been speaking to all kinds of people, and he would have been, when they say mountain, it's like a hillside, right along the Sea of Galilee. And he would have been up there, not because it was a cool place to sit, but because there would have been a lot of people, and he wanted them to all be able to hear him, or as many people as they could. And there were all kinds of people there. There were people that were all in and following the way of Jesus. There would have been people who maybe were just hungry and thought there would be some fish and bread, you know, like a potluck. There were people that were just curious and wanted to see what was going on. I think there were probably, as always, some people that were just feisty and wanted to argue. All kinds of people. And he's speaking to anyone and everyone that would listen. But here, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's specifically talking to people who would call themselves his disciples. Because he's telling them how to live God's way. What does it look like to be a disciple? In the Sermon on the Mount, he's reminding them not to store up treasures on earth, but in heaven. He goes through all of this list of blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, bringing comfort and conviction to people, telling disciples how they should be acting. And everything shifted in verses 14 through 16 when he says, you are the light of the world. One of the things that I think it's important to remember as we read this is that oftentimes, as we're navigating Scripture, I think it's easy for us, maybe just in our humanness, to think that our goal is to strive to be good enough, to do enough stuff, to make him happy, to be good enough, to be called one of his followers. And Jesus here, when he says, you are the light of the world, he's telling us our identity before our activity. He's reminding us that you are not saved by your works, but here's who you are, now go get to work. That's a crucial thing as we navigate walking out who God is and what he's called us to. That he meets us right where we're at. We can do anything and everything for him if we submit and surrender and we go and do what he tells us to do. He reminds us who we are, then he tells us what to do. The power of what Jesus is sharing about a city on a hill that can't be hidden comes alive when you realize that he's talking to a group of people along the Sea of Galilee. There would have been villages and towns sprinkled throughout. And all of those people would know when he said that, that as soon as it got dark out, all of those homes along the sea would have been lit up. They wouldn't be hidden because they would have lights in them, right? It's powerful for you and me because Jesus is saying that's the way it's going to be through you and through me. Where is your world lit up because God has put you there? When the sun goes down, my people will shine. That's what he's saying. When the city feels dark, my church will be the light. If this person, and insert somebody's name there, is going to know who I am, it's got to be through you. If the Black Hills of South Dakota is going to hear about me and see my light, it's got to be through you. You don't have to have all the answers. I just want you to be bright. You don't have to be perfect. I just want you to be bright. I want you to be the light of this world. You are the light of this world. Stop letting your identity get hijacked and thinking that you're not good enough or that you don't know enough to do it. God did not save you for you not to display him to the world. So how do we do it? There are a million different things that we could say, but I want to take us to the heart of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation in a dark world. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So just four things as we talk about how do we do it. The first one is to check our attitude. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I think a lot about the fruits of the Spirit here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. One of the notes I put the other day was, is my only fluent language grumpy or gossipy? How are we walking out into the world? What's our attitude? What's our posture? Verse 15 tells us to consider our example so that you may become blameless and pure. I may have the whole Bible memorized, but am I constantly complaining? Do I go to church every week, but I am harboring so much weight and bitterness and resentment? Do I have the most eloquent prayers, but I won't forgive? How are we walking out and exampling a life devoted to Christ? Verse 16 tells us to cling to Christ as you hold firmly to the word of life. Spending time in the word of God. Spending time in community with other believers. Sharpening one another. Spending time praying. Submitting to what I'm learning about God and his ways. Cling to Christ. And verse 14, choose to be faithful. Even if. I think a lot of times hard things happen in our lives and we let it change who we are in a way that God did not intend. Don't stop showing people who Jesus is and living his example no matter what. Even if nobody hears you, even if you get yelled at, even if people disagree with you, even if. In and of ourselves, we don't have that kind of light, but we get to reflect his. We are the light because he is the light. So if we are the light of the world and we're not displaying it, why not? Well, Jesus said it's because there are some bowls, other translations say baskets, that are over the light. What are some of your baskets? What are some of your bowls? Some of them we don't choose. Others, I think, we pick up and we put over. And I wanted to just share a few of them. There are limitless ones. I think there are some that we probably don't even know until somebody shows us. The first one, though, is I think sometimes the reason why we aren't bringing the light is because life is just really hard. And this is maybe a basket or a bowl that we never chose, we would never choose, but we've got it. Maybe your basket is that you feel like your whole life is just one dark room with bowls and baskets over every light. Blackout curtains in the windows. Sadness. Angst, deep depression. How can we bring the light to others if we're barely even making it through our own day? Psalm 88 is a lament. Heman, but it's He-Man, is how it's spelled. Do you guys remember He-Man? So this is the picture I get. He was an Ezraite. You should go Google that. Heman. Okay, he's writing it. It's a lament. His life is awful. He's in isolation. He's feeling just so overwhelmed, despair, suffering. He feels abandoned. And he writes this, and I want to read it to you, and then we're going to just talk about it briefly. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. That's dark. It's in the Bible. It's the only psalm that doesn't end with a resolution or a song of praise at the end, where it's like, oh, never mind, you pulled me out of the pit. This one doesn't. This one ends like that. It's dark. That's all. One of the things, I was reading this a few weeks ago, and one of the things that I was reminded of in that moment, when our whole world, our mere existence, feels like nothing but darkness, what Psalm 88, 18 tells me is that we have a place to go in Scripture where God himself is saying to us, I see you, I understand, and I am here. If you are feeling like that, invite people in. Let people crack the door open just enough to get some light in. You can just sit there too, but let people in. Let the community be part of your life. A bowl or a basket that I think we often put on, maybe not intentionally, but we like put it on and then hold it there, is pride. I hate talking about this with you guys because I know you're all amazing and you would never let pride lead you. But in our culture today, one of the questions that I think is important to ask is my goal to be right or to be light? We are founded in truth. Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. So it matters what right is, and it matters that we know what right is and what wrong is. But I think the calling card of so much of religion today is walking into spaces or typing on our computer, arguing to prove that we're right and they're not. We get into arguments to prove we're right. We walk into situations armored with proof that we are right and they are wrong. We've spent so much energy trying to be right when I think Jesus is saying, just go show them the light. It's not saying that truth doesn't matter, but what I'll tell you, what your family needs, what your friends need, what your job needs, what your school needs, is not knowing that you're right. It's seeing your light. Somebody that can walk in and change the atmosphere and help people see Jesus and find their way to him. Do you do that? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The world needs Motel 6 again. Not bed bugs, not $39.99. Oh, that would be great though, right? A hotel room for under 40 bucks? Ugh, clean sheets, we don't need that. We need some people that say, we left the light on for you. Do you remember that? Ugh. We left the light on for you because we've been out on the road too. We've been lost too, and we're gonna help you find your way back. It's walking out of our houses every day like a lighthouse. Not because we have the power to do it ourselves, but because we get to reflect the one who does. Do you need to know how to get sober? Do you need to know how to get help for whatever you're dealing with? Do you need help with truth and grace? Are you looking for a way to mercy? Let me light the way for you. I can be a light in the dark. Not because of me, but because of him. You are the light of the world. We gotta stop arguing with people about stuff that isn't primary. I don't care what translation you're reading, as long as you're reading the Bible and it's talking about Jesus and glorifying God. I don't care if you're singing hymns or I'm trying to think of a worship band that we're arguing about right now, because it happens so often. I can't know. But I want you to be listening to things that are honoring to the Lord. I'm not going to argue with you about what hymnal you should be looking at. Shine his light. Make that your primary purpose. Holding on to truth and grace. But don't forget your light. The last one is not owning our purpose. And we can do that for a lot of reasons. I think fear, distractions, we just get in our own zone and we forget what we're called to. One of the things about the God of the Bible that is different than any other religion on this planet is that it feels like it's all a ladder, right? And God is at the top, this infinite ladder, because he's perfect. And if we tried to climb to him, like every other religion and every other God requires, we'd never make it. But the God of the Bible came down and met us where we were. He meets us where we are. And he says, I want to use you. I can use you. Let me use you. And we think we're not good enough. We've not reached our pinnacle yet. We haven't memorized every verse in the Bible yet. We don't go to church enough. When we don't own our purpose, we put a bowl or a basket over our light. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians I want us to read. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I don't have to be perfect. I have this treasure, this opportunity to be light in earthly vessels, in jars of clay, not fancy brass candelabras and lanterns. God put it in regular people so that the glory and the praise and the beauty, he says the all-surpassing power is from him and not from us. Praise God for that. That should take some of the stress off, I think. My favorite thing about these, well, one, I'm not very tall. I have a step stool in every single room of my house. If you don't and you're short, I highly recommend it. It just makes life a little easier. When a light bulb goes out and there are no tall people at home, I go to the cupboard, and these little guys are in what, like little cardboard containers, right? It's not fancy. They're just waiting their turn in the cupboard. And eventually, there's a light that goes out. It doesn't like tell us that it's going out. It just goes out. And to put one in, you don't need to be throwing tires at CrossFit, right? Like, I can do it with my little T-Rex arms. Get a step stool, take the old one out, put the new one in, right? And the new one will shine and shine and shine until it can't shine anymore. And hopefully, I won't say that nobody's ever been to the emergency room because they were putting in a light, but it's not really hard, right, to like, okay, to put it in. Day after day, week after week, month after month, they just light up. They've got you, and it's really helpful. Our purpose, our job here on earth, is to be the light. And this filament is one of the most delicate things in your house. It's so fragile. Just a tiny thread of possibility that under the right conditions glows like crazy. And this is the way of the people of God. We're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, and again, all those great friends will clean up anything I forgot. But today, I would just love to spend a moment praying for us and helping us remember that he identifies us by who we are before he tells us what to do. And for some of us, our first step might be thinking through what bowl or basket we're putting over. Where are opportunities, Lord, that I can remember what you've called me to and who I am so that I can go bring the light? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the ways that when we might feel like we are not seen, that we are not heard, that we are like Heman the Ezrahite, Lord, and just sitting in darkness. God, I thank you that you meet us there, that from the beginning, knowing all that was to come, you met us there, and you keep meeting us right where we're at. God, you won't meet us where we aren't, and so I just pray in this moment that you would help us to just be real with you and ourselves and start processing, Lord, this is my purpose. It's not what job I have or what skill sets I have or what education I have or even where I live. It is, as a follower of yours, showing people who you are. It's bringing your light. God, I pray that you would just help each and every one of us remember that we are seen and we are heard and we are loved. And our joy and privilege, God, is to bring your light into the world. And it might be us singing our way out of the dark while we do it. But God, I pray that you would empower us and embolden us with your heart and your words and your passion. God, give us the strength when we don't have it. Clear anything that's getting in our way. Lord, help us identify the areas of our lives that we need to keep going in and doing what we're doing, and maybe the ways that we need to put something down so that we can be all that you have called us to be for your glory. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.